Here's Joe Smith. He pops in. Smitty, good morning. How are you?
How we doing, guys?
Good morning,
Margaret.
Joe.
Glad you had a nice time with your libertarian friends.
It was a really good weekend. I got to see him two different days, and
it was
just really fun.
Got out of there before the Indy 500 craze swoops
in. I'm not
in.
Silly.
Joe, it's the 100th edition, and that will be on the airwaves starting at 10 o'clock this Sunday morning. The pomp, the circumstance, and everything that goes along with it. Green Flag Racing will kiss the bricks, get all the post-race interviews in for you as well. So it's a busy Sunday in Indianapolis. Obviously, the parade going on Saturday, but we'll worry about that this coming weekend. Last weekend, we had plenty of stuff happening on the high school beat. Get us wrapped up on what we might have missed on our busy weekend as well.
Well, back on top is Tennis Queens, and dominating it was for Barb Mills North Cougars, who won its third sectional in 4 years, downing Martinsville 5-0 in a match actually that was moved indoors Friday to the IU Tennis Center. Indoors, outdoors, it didn't matter as North beat South, Bedford, North Lawrence, and Martinsville without giving up a point, and now ready to host the regional semifinals tomorrow night against Conference Indiana rival Columbus North. Anna McCoy, Carolina Lopez, and Kelly Fox swept the singles. And again, strong doubles play from one and two. Nicole Ortiz and Bailey Gardner. Jordan Trilling and Megan Strobel stepping up and in for Lily McAfee, rolling in straight sets at two doubles, setting up Tuesday night's match with the Bulldogs. While we play at the tennis regional level, we get rolling with the sectional softball and regional track and field as we enter week 9 of the spring season this week. McCamus Edgewood softball Mustangs will play Brown County in a 7:30 first rounder at West Vigo later tonight. Northview and Owen Valley open things up at 5:30, and then on Thursday night, or rather tomorrow night at Shelbyville, Emily Kron's North Cougars play the host Golden Bears at 6. Defending champion South plays Columbus North on Thursday night over in Shelbyville, and then the title game will be decided on Friday night for the girls there in 4A. We also get rolling in the 50th annual baseball tournament series, and Wednesday night right off the bat, North and South in the 4A sectional opener at 6 o'clock. The Panthers serve as the host. They are the defending champs, but the Cougars have the lights in the rubber match of 3, each with a win earlier this spring. North 14-9 beat Floyd Central Saturday 4-3, a Will Klein's base knock, the game winner in the last of the 7th. North goes into the postseason 17-9, having won 12 of its last 13. Bob Jones' Edgewood Mustangs also play Wednesday night at Sullivan in the 3A tournament. They'll play the host in the opener after losing the WIC title game to Northview back on Thursday night. Edgewood 14-7. They play tonight, by the way, at home against Linton at 5:30. Well, it was quite a week for the Purple and White of South in Week 8, a Conference Indiana Boys Golf Crown. Tom Stokes and the girls winning the IHSA Girls Track Sectional on Tuesday night, and then on Thursday night of last week, veteran coach Larry Williams watched his Panther fellows ascend to the top again as sectional track champs out on the Siebold Oval, rolling up 171 points, beating rival North by 34. There was no tie this spring as the Panthers crowned 5 champions, including 1-2 finishes in the long jump and pole vault. It's 9th crown the past 11 years. It's 11th overall since 04, by the way. Panthers Sam Monson and Max Leiniger swept 1-2, actually went 1-2 in the long jump, as expected there. Panthers Luke Hensley and Jay Courier went 1-2 in the pole vault, Hensley winning at 13-6. Wes Hopkins won the discus, 174-3. Caleb Butt, the 300 hurdles, and Evan Franklin, the 2-mile. North missed a lot of points last Thursday from the injured Malik Lafoum and Garrett Heitink, but Bryce Frazier won the 2 and 400 meters and then anchored the mile relay team to first place. Veteran Isaac Benz won the 800 and was also on that relay along with Jake Fowler and Antonio Dolman. Logan Calvin won the shot put in the sectional. Edgewood and rival Owen Valley tied for third. Mustang Mason Saylor won the 110 hurdles in 15-16. The boys regional will be Thursday of this week at Siebold Track out at North, and then the girls' regional tomorrow night, also at Bloomington North. The big week continued for South. They wrapped up the Conference Indiana All-Sports Trophy for the fellows, 12th time in the last 19 seasons of league action, but it's first in 5 years for the South fellows. Panthers winning titles in football, swimming, and golf, and co-champions in basketball. And also kudos to the South girls. They tie Columbus North for the All-Sports Trophy, its best of performance in 14 years. The Panther girls, league champs in golf, volleyball, swimming and diving, track. Bloomington North finished fourth in the boys, and the girls were third overall. Dustin Carver's fourth-ranked South golfers wound up fourth at the Muncie Central Invite. Joe Weiler's 75 team medal honors. Brett Knorr had a 76. Brian Muehlhaus's North Cougs finished 10th at the Franklin Central Invitational over the weekend. Adam Baker led the maroon and gold out at Smock with an 84. South's B team was fourth overall. Senior Plato Delianis and also freshman Tom Tierney, co-team medalists with 79s. The golf sectional for the fellas, that won't start out at IU until June the 3rd. So now, week number 9, let it begin, and it will later tonight. In the zone, Dave and Glass, and your phone calls tonight at 6. Reds' worst losing streak of the year, 7 games, stumble into Dodger Stadium tonight for the first of 3 late-night pregame at 10 o'clock here on the airwaves.
Dodgers needed 17 of them yesterday, Joe, before they finally beat the Padres.
Yeah, maybe they're tired tonight. Who knows?
I don't know what game ended first. Sunday Night Baseball with the 1-0 Giants beating the Cubs, or the or the 17-inning lengthy playing at the Padres game yesterday. If you didn't stay up for it, Joe, there wasn't much to stay up for. It was 40-40, and you think, hey, we got a game on our hands here, then Oklahoma City runs away and blasts Golden State. They were up 39 at one point in the third quarter. They win convincingly. They lead
by 18, I think.
Well, they won by 18 because they only scored 14 points in the fourth quarter because they were up 50. You and I got a couple minutes in that quarter.
Yeah.
They rested everybody else, and that game was all over at the 8-minute mark in the third quarter. So a nice night off for Oklahoma City. They take a 2-1 series lead. They're back in action tomorrow night. Tonight is Toronto and Cleveland. The Raptors, they had a nice performance on Saturday night, 99-84 winners. That was Cleveland's first loss of the playoffs and biggest deficit in some time as well. So that's that. What else do we need to know? Cubbies still have the best record in baseball. They're not playing great. Tell me who's on the poll for the Indianapolis 500. Is it James Hinchcliffe?
Hinchcliffe, and what a great story after nearly losing his life last May in that horrific practice crash at the Speedway, hopped in 230.760, and he and Joseph Newgarden and Ryan Hunter-Reay will comprise the front row. A couple of Hondas, Hunter-Reay with his Honda at 230.648. Matter of fact, it was just all those guys. We had a total of half a dozen drivers post 230
crank it, baby.
MPHs, on the average. But Hinchcliffe with his Honda, Newgarden has that Chevrolet, and guide's been hot on the circuit. Simon Pagenaud is eighth. Elio Castroneve is right next to him. So looks like another solid race. Defending champion Juan Pablo Montoya will start 17th on Sunday. Centennial running of the 500-mile race.
Yep, and we'll have it right here for you starting next Sunday, this coming Sunday at 10 a.m., and we'll have you at 8:45 to talk about all the other stuff going on in the sports world.
Well, we'll look at a power outage that unfortunately happened for the baseball losers, but they got to forget that. Now they have to win the Big Ten tournament to get in the NCAA tournament, plain and simple. We'll chart the progress next hour. And top of the morning to you, Margaret.
Good morning, Joe. Did you miss
beautiful
us?
Day, sunny.
Joe always misses us.
I just wondered if
Joe's
he
on vacation
us.
All this week as well, so don't be surprised when he drops out of the the atmosphere coming up a little bit later in the week. But now we got to worry about Joe is finding some offense for Chris Lemonis's Hoosiers. They didn't pitch poorly all weekend in Lincoln. The big chips were on the table for the regular season title. The bats went ice cold, but they aren't done yet. They stay in Nebraska, where they will kick off the Big Ten tournament a little bit later this week. Tell us what we need to know.
Well, I tell you, the big-time power outage came unexpectedly, and it hit big time as Chris Lemonis' Hoosiers swept by Nebraska over the weekend out in Lincoln, knocking them down to the 3 seed. In this week's Big Ten tournament out in Omaha, 1 run, 12 total hits, 11 of them singles, and 2 shutout wins by the Huskers, who finished sole second to Big Ten regular season champ Minnesota. So woeful, this offense, all of a sudden, the Hoosiers haven't scored anything. But that solo home run that we talked about Friday morning that Craig Dietlow hit in the Thursday opener that averted a shutout in game 1-4-1. Uncharacteristically, too, Indiana committed 5 errors in that 3-0 whitewash loss Saturday that closed the regular season in the Big Ten for Indiana at 15-9 and puts them now in the opening game of the tournament, this double elimination affair that gets rolling at 10 o'clock on Wednesday against the Maryland Terrapins, who are the 6th seed. By the way, the two teams did not play during the regular season, but all that right now has to be flushed. What didn't happen offensively in Lincoln, and a fresh start, and it's going to have to happen quickly. Now it's win the tournament to gain the Big Ten automatic bid into the College World Series. Even a runner-up spot in this double elimination tournament may not be good enough. Right now, the Hoosiers on a 4-game losing streak. Its RPI sitting right now is the 6th best among Big Ten conference teams. And, well, early talk has the Big Ten getting at least 4 teams in the College World Series. So it's regroup and warm those aluminum sticks and get down to business big time, or it's going to be left on the outside looking in all of a sudden as the Big Ten moves to tournament level, and all of the games will be televised by the Big Ten Network. And again, Indiana and Maryland will lift the tournament off TD Ameritrade Park Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock out in Omaha. While that is going on, for a 3rd straight year, Steve Peterson and the Indiana women rowers headed out to the NCAA championships later this week after receiving an at-large bid. The 2016 rowing championships will be held out at Sacramento State in Gold River, California, starting on Friday. This is the same site as the 2015 NCAA Rowing Championship, where the Hoosiers finished 11th as a team. Right now, Indiana, one of 14 programs in the country that have qualified for each of the last 3 NCAA championships, which takes 22 teams each year. And this year, the Hoosiers are one of 4 Big Ten teams to make the field, joining regular season Big Ten champion Ohio State, Michigan, and Wisconsin. And, you know, prior to its first appearance back in 2014, the Hoosiers had never advanced to the NCAA championship in program history under Coach Steve, and now they've made it 3 years in a row and will look, obviously, to improve upon 11th place finishes as a team each of the previous 2 years. Well, in the sport of speed over the weekend, James Hinchcliffe, he'll sit the pole in that Honda, 230.760 mphs in qualifications on Sunday, as he will lead the field to the green flag on Sunday. Coverage right here on the airways beginning at 10 for the centennial running of the 500-mile race. Joseph Newgarden and Ryan Hunter-Reay comprised the front row. Also over the weekend, one of my favorite drivers, Joey Logano, won the $1 million Dash for Cash, the Sprint All-Star Series down at Concord, North Carolina, as he drove his Ford to victory over Brad Keselowski. Have a lot going on this week. As we mentioned earlier, on the high school beat, sectional softball, Edgewood and Brown County, they get together at West Vigo tonight. The city schools will play over in Shelbyville, with North getting rolling on Tuesday night. We have regional tennis, North and Columbus North on Tuesday night out at North, and of course also there will be the girls' regional track and field get-together. The boys will run on Thursday night out on the Siebold Oval, and the 50th annual sectional baseball state tournament series opens up, North and South. South is hosting. North has the lights. That'll be Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. Edgewood plays at Sullivan in 3A. Don't forget the Reds on the radio, first of three from Chavez Ravine, Dodgers Stadium tonight against Los Angeles, trying somehow to find something go right, trying to snap a season-high seven-game losing streak. First pitch tonight at 10:10. In the zone, David Glass in your phone calls tonight at 6.
So, we got early night, late night, and everything else in
everything
between
else.
There. The Preakness Stakes ran on Saturday in the rain, and the rain, and the rain, and the rain at Pimlico Racetrack.
Deja vu from a year ago. I don't know if last year I thought was bad when America Ferrell didn't bother him in the slot, but it bothered Nyquist on two fronts. One, he got a lot of push up front, as we figured it might be, and his speed did not hold.
You didn't figure 22-4 on that track in those conditions. That pace burned him out.
Yeah.
His stretch run was a little jaggedy, and there went Exaggerator 5-2 to break up the Triple Crown. 1-1. We'd like to see both of them race at the Belmont to give that race some juice. If not, it's just another Saturday on Long Island, to be honest with you. A lot of traffic and everything else. So if one of those two doesn't race the Belmont, it's, that's a tough part with the Triple Crown, Joe, and it just shows you how good American Ferrell was last year, how hard this is to do. It's not going to happen every year.
No, and, you know, when this whole series began, the Triple Crown series kicked off in Louisville 2 weeks ago, we figured Exaggerator, the way he closed in the Derby, he would be best suited for the Belmont, which is a mile and a half.
Yeah, that's the track you close on.
Yeah, and so, you know, he probably will be the favorite going in. Nyquist, I'm sure, will be running as well. But that's 2 weeks away. June 12th will be the running of the Belmont.
And this is the first horse ever. Number one, it took him five tries to beat Nyquist. This was try number five. Number two,
he did it.
He
did
right.
It finally.
He did. Like there's not a lot of sayings that say the fifth time's a charm, is there?
No.
No, that's right. Is. And the other part was he is the only Derby horse ever to finish second and then win at the Preakness.
Yeah.
So that's some big history he had to overcome, and we'll see if he moves on to Belmont Park. The Cubbies still have the best record in baseball, Joe, but not by that much anymore. Just two games, as the Cubs have lost 7 of 11, including 1-0 last night on Sunday Night Baseball. Golden State was destroyed by Oklahoma City. Dave and I will break down the NBA Conference Finals. Toronto had a nice night on Saturday as well, so we've got a couple series on our hands that we probably didn't think were going to happen.
Yeah, Toronto gets back together. Again, they'll have the home court on later tonight, taking on the Cavaliers, trying to tie that series up at 2-2. But, Oklahoma City, that second and third quarter, they scored 73 points.
You've got to remember, that game was 40-40.
Minutes.
It was 40-40 tied at one point. Tied at 40-40. Do the math from that point on. It's not.
Well, they had six double figures. They had a lot more than Westbrook and Durant. I mean, those two will kill you anyway with 63.
Well, they didn't miss a shot for 15 minutes. That's not going to beat anybody doing that.
So, a little bit more needed to be added to the Golden State offense. But we'll see what happens.
Doesn't matter if it's 2-2 going back to Golden State. It's still Golden State's home court advantage, so they got everything to play for.
And
by the way, they're 1.5-point favorites for tomorrow night's game, just in case you're into that kind of thing. Good stuff as always, brother. Appreciate your time on a Monday.
All righty. We'll see you at Sports Talk tomorrow. Fred drops in his monthly show behind the scenes. Also, we'll talk with IU Golf Pro and General Manager of the course.
Bishy!
Greg Bishop coming in.
Good friend of ours.
To talk about, it's going to be a busy summer out at IU. Plus, it's going to get even busier, what with some new plans for a hopeful new million-dollar-plus golf course that we'll talk about.
Very nice. We'll do that tomorrow night. Thanks, Joe.
Right.
Appreciate it.
Have a great day.
You have a great week, Margaret.
Thank you.
Joe Smith, 7:45 and 8:45 every Monday, live.